Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful sunny day, and we're so thankful for this beautiful Sabbath day. Lord God, we know you are in our hearts. We know you live inside us and you dwell us. And we pray now that you will inhabit this building and surround us. And Lord, in the bulletin, these names that are mentioned, whether it be relationships or health issues or just work and prosperity, Lord, we lift these things up to you because we know in Matthew 21:22, everything we ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Lord, we're thanking you ahead of time because we know you're going to hear and answer that prayer. And Lord, we want to take an opportunity to thank you also for the tithes and offerings that are presented to you each week in that box in the back of the room. We pray that we can use this to the benefit of finishing your work. And we are so thankful for the faithfulness of all the people that go to this church. Now, we just want to ask your Holy Spirit to flow through me and to fall on all of us that we may be touched and we may leave here being fulfilled and closer to you. We pray these things in your Son's blessed name. And the congregation said, amen. Don't give it away. I thank Marguerite for her support with all these songs, even though it might have been contrary to what I'm talking about today. But it's just not fair. Not only am I getting a late start, it's potluck week. I mean, couldn't I have been up here on a week where it's not a potluck, because the smell is going to start to fill up the room and you guys are going to be... But my oldest brother Greg is here today and he called me and said he was coming. Oh, don't clap for him. You don't know what he said to me yet. He said, you know, I'm anxious to hear what you have to say, but just remember, if you go past noon, I'm bringing some overripe tomatoes with me. But that's not what scares me, because he can't hit the broadside of a barn. What scares me is he wrote a song, and he threatened to sing it at noon, and the title of his song is, Isn't It Potluck Time? So I will try to move this along as well as I can. I call it the mini-series. We just finished 4 weeks with Pastor Bob and Pastor Dennis speaking. I don't know, even if you caught one of those weeks, praise God, weren't you blessed? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I got a couple things to say. I'm not Pastor Bob, and I'm not Pastor Dennis. Pastor Dennis wishes he had half of my hair, okay? But I am a different style. I promise not to scare you, make you jump. I won't roll in the aisles. I won't come up and say, yeah, you praise the Lord. So we're just going to lay down the word, and the word is what we're using today. And I encourage you, I hope you have a pen and paper, because we're going to go through these kind of quickly. And the reason is, we have a potluck, and I'm starting late. I have a short list of things I can't do. And now some of you know what one of those things on that list is, and it is trying to take off a pullover sweatshirt while I'm on a treadmill. That's on my don't do list because I end up on the floor. Now another thing that's on my don't do list is public dancing. Okay, I'll be honest, private or public dancing, because I don't dance. I was always up front being the lead singer, so when you guys were learning how to dance, I was missing out. Hopefully speaking to you isn't going to make that list, but you know, after 5 or 10 minutes of me, some of you may be thinking, well, this guy's all wet. You have no idea how wet. Let's do a little background here of me. This isn't going to be a personal testimony, but very quickly, I am really wet, because when I was an infant, a baby, my parents were Lutherans. And they had me baptized, sprinkled, christened, whatever you want to call it. And so that was baptismal number one. Okay, then when I was 12 in the church in Puyallup at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I guess in the 60s they thought the age of accountability was 12, or you knew how to make a choice by then. But everybody else was doing it in my class, so hey, I'll get baptized too. And the late Pastor Wintman baptized me, and that was baptism number two. Well, then While I was in high school down in Las Vegas, Nevada, because my folks had moved down there, I became an SCB. Now, those of you that are from the South know what that is, but because most of us are from the Northwest, that's a Southern Conservative Baptist. Now, the good Reverend Dexter Wildman said, no, those baptisms don't count. You know, now that you're in their true church, and you know what do Baptists do best? They baptize. That's baptism number 3. All right. And then in my 20s, I got married, and my young Catholic bride, meeting with me at some meetings there in Tacoma with Pastor Leonard Jakes, gave her life to the Lord and became an Adventist. So because I'd been out of church and I'd been a Baptist for crying out loud, that Leonard Jakes suggested, you know, why don't you rededicate yourself and get baptized the same time as your wife? So baptism number 4. Okay, I've been dunked more than a Dunkin' Donuts, okay? So when you say I'm all wet, you're probably right. Pastor Bob and Pastor Dennis were talking about Christ in us, God in us, dwelling in us, and living inside out instead of the world in. But what I want to talk about today is your inheritance and how do we live that on a day-to-day basis? How do we make it real? Well, I love this book too, and it has nothing to do with it. It has a nice ring to it because it says James 4:14. But let's read it. This is from the Amplified, and I hope you write these down. It says, yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. You know when it's cold, and you go, and then it's gone. Well, that's what the Bible says our life is. But yet, growing up, my mother, The thing that I remember most about my late mother, she taught me as a very young child, and here is what she taught me. This is from that fabulous book of James again, James 4:15. The very next verse says, you ought instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and we shall do this or that thing. For those of you that correspond with me via email or on the phone, this is my thing. I always say, we'll see you soon, Lord willing. I never end anything without Lord willing, because we don't know what's going to happen the next day. But knowing that God lives in us, has that changed the way you live? Has it changed the way you pray? In Matthew 6:33, again the Amplified, it says, but seek, which is aim at and strive after, first, all of his kingdom. Let's stop right there for a second. His kingdom. You know, that was essential to Jesus' teaching the whole time that he was on this earth, which was a brief time, we know. But it is mentioned, God's kingdom or his kingdom is mentioned alone just in Matthew 50 times. So that is the central theme that Jesus had. So let's go on. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, which is his way of doing and being right. And then all of these things taken together will be given to you besides. So it sounds like there's a condition there. So we're learning how to pray here. That's basically what we're aiming at here. Sherry and Karen, years ago when we were at that church out there by the roundabout on Marvin Road, they had approached me about joining their worship team in singing. And before I go on with that, by the way, I want to thank you because you guys have really helped my life. This is exactly 1 year that I've became a worship leader and was given the opportunity to speak to you, and I love you guys. And I'm not going to wait till you're up in a pine box with the lid open and we walk by and say, oh, I had so many things I wanted to say. No, I'm telling you now, wasn't that hard? It was easy. You guys have changed my life dramatically because I work hard and I hope the Holy Spirit has used me and you have been touched by a little bit about what he's given me this last year to share to you. Because working on it and reading and trying to come up with these things has changed me dramatically. I already was praying and studying and had a good walk, but it just makes me work even harder to bring you things. So I thank you for this whole last year. Now, thank you. Hallelujah. Getting back to, now I'm going to come back to the Sherry and Karen story. They had asked me to sing, and I told them, well, first of all, before I do this, I'd love to, but I got to quit smoking. Because I used to smoke those Clint Eastwood Swisher Sweet cigars, make my day, you know those kind? And so I smoked 10 of those a day. Now, you know, they're filled with nicotine just like cigarettes, but I inhaled them just like a cigarette. And my doctor told me that was the equivalent of 4 packs a day. Now, I didn't want to join a band and have it be James and the Hypocrites, and I don't believe in that, so I had to cleanse myself first. Now, this is how faith works, folks. This is no joke. I went home that evening. I got down on my knees like my mama taught me, and I said, Father God, I give you this habit. You take it away, and while you're doing it, since you've already taken it away and I'm thanking you for it, if any of you have smoked, you know the withdrawals and the nicotine and the sickness. I said, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have any cravings. I don't want to be ill, and I want you to cleanse me from all earthly sin and disease. Amen. Thank you. The next morning I got up. I haven't smoked since. I never got sick. I never got nauseated. It was gone. Why do we cleanse ourselves? And why did Jesus rip through the temple, turn everything upside down, and toss it all about? Let's see what he had to say. This is the New International Version. Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written right there. He's quoting scripture. We're going to get back to that later on too, so remember that. It is written, he said to them, my house should be called a house of prayer. No, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Why is it important to cleanse the temple? Well, let's find out what the temple is. This is again from the NIV. Praise God, if you don't love this verse, you won't love any verses. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that what? Lives in you. Okay, that's exactly why. Being raised the way I was raised, I knew I had to cleanse the temple before he could use me and really work through me. But what does God hear when we pray? Well, again, we're going to use the word. And this is a long one, so bear with me. I'm sorry, I'm not just doing these little condensed versions. It may take a couple screens, so thank you for bearing with us. So, two, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches God, the hearts of men, knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit and what his intent is. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints. And that's you. You may not think you're a saint, but again, we're going to talk about that in a minute here too. In behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. You see the theme there? With God's will. So besides cleansing, one of the conditions was seeking the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, which is his will. We need to seek God's will and not our own. And how do we do that? Just like when Christ was at the garden. He was shedding tears of blood. He had the weight of the world's on the sin of the weight of the world on his shoulder. And what did he say to God? He said, Father, if it can, make it go away. But if it can't, thy will be done. It wasn't Christ's will, it was God's will. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. Now here's this, to hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. So that guy that cut you off on the freeway and you honked at him and tried to run him into the ditch, you might as well have killed him. According to God, that's murder. So you burn with envy. No, to hate, yeah, okay, you burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment. Oh, we live in such a self-gratification lifestyle. We want it now, we want it fast, and we want it anytime we ask for it. The contentment and happiness that you seek, so you fight and war with employees, spouses, children, fighting and warring with their parents. You do not have because you do not ask, or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose. There again, there's that, what will are you asking in? And evil motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in sensual pleasures. And again, that was from James. But why do I have to ask God? We've read this many, many times in your Bible that He already knows what I am going to ask and what I need before I even ask it. So why do we have to commit to Him and ask it? Well, let me explain something to you. You remember when Christ was walking along, people would say, Master, Master, Jesus. Okay. I thought that would only happen if I rolled in the aisle. Ears aren't big. Now, let me get myself together. Oh, thank you. Did I do that with my... All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
They would say, Jesus. And He would say, what do you want? He knew the guy was blind. He knew the person was lame. But He wanted to hear what you wanted. And so He said, if you are willing, I know you can make me whole. And so He says, okay, you're healed. And wait a minute. Since you're healed, now go and sin no more. Oh, now wait a minute. Now, a lot of people have this belief that you go and sin no more. Well, that would make you perfect, wouldn't it? But why would Jesus say, your faith has made you well, you're healed. Go and sin no more. It only makes sense that if God is in you, wanted to make sure, brother, that I was on the right page, and that if you are the temple of God, would there not be some holiness in you? Yes, there would. Now, wait, before you say it's heresy and I'm falsely speaking, I'm talking about the small h, not the capital H. You see, the capital H is God's holiness and Christ's holiness. Now, the Greek for the holiness with the small h is pronounced hagamos. And hagamos means in the Greek, when you go back to the original translation, to be separated to God, to be uncommon, set aside. So living for God is holy and right. So you have holiness in you. Remember when I said He's praying for you, the saints? Well, the saints have holiness. Bottom line, what am I talking about? Don't throw it away. Don't give it away. Well, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on Him. You know that song. You love that song. Lean on Him. Rely on Him. And be confident. That's why you thank Him before you're even done praying. Because you have confidence in God. We just talked about my opening prayer. Said everything you ask in prayer, believing, you what? Going to receive. Also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Yeah, I skipped the whole page, but that's all right, because we know we're going to wrap this up anyway. I do want to touch on one thing, though. Here's another verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. You know, you remember the story that Cain and Abel brought the pure, undefiled, unblemished lamb, and he was a gardener, basically. He brought the fruits and grains. Now, I love to barbecue, and you can cook up some nice vegetables and stuff on the barbecue, but it doesn't make much of an offering. It's kind of no blood involved. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door, which is like the Old Testament talks about a demon waiting outside the door to crouch on you. Its desire is for you, but you might be able to handle it. No, but you must. This is back in Genesis. This is God the Father telling you right then and there, but you must master it. Jesus set the example when the tempter came to him after he had been fasting for 40 days. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the God's son, command these stones to be made loaves of bread. But he replied, here we go with the word again. This is where your power is. The power is in the word. It has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that cometh forth from the mouth. This is the power right there. And here's what the word tells us to do. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. So you can't go around and say, well, I try, but I just can't do it. I can't say no. You can't do that anymore if you read this. You see, the people that go around saying, oh, I lost my job. God must be punishing me. I have this sickness. I must have done something wrong. God's punishing me. Oh, that car wreck I got in the other day? God must be punishing me. No, the other person's a lousy driver. They hit you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, again in the Amplified. For no temptation, this is it right here, folks. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience as such a man can bear. But God is faithful, amen, to his word and his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. You know, not to let you be tempted. If you go back to the Lord's Prayer, that's a sermon all in itself if you break down those parts. Because when you go back to the original Hebrew and Greek on being tempted, lead us not into temptation, it's really saying, don't make me go through trials and temptation. It's going to happen because we live in a sinful world. But he was setting the example, pray that you don't go into the temptation and the trials. You don't need them. But if you get them, look what it says. He will always provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear it up patiently. When I was a kid at the Puyallup Church, we sang this hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. And that's why we talked about that holiness, because I thought that song was so crazy. I was just a kid, you know, and I was thinking, who wrote this song? They got to be out of their mind. Take time to be holy. We can't be holy. The only thing that's holy is God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But that's why my pages were out of order, and that's why you learned earlier that we have holiness in us through being separated to God and drawn out of the world. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave. I love the word crave. Doesn't it? You know, a pregnant woman craves pickles and ice cream. I can't understand that, but pregnant women do. I know it's a stereotype that you see on the television and different things, but do we desire, do we crave the Father and require of necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways? Then will I hear from heaven, forgive them their sin, and heal their land, which can be interpreted your home life, your relationship with your wife, your children, whatever. Let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts and unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power. Are you getting this? Amen? If by that leaning of your entire personality, give it all to Him on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. You don't have to do it four times, by the way. One time will count. And our last verse of the day is the one that we had as our scripture reading. I love this verse. 1 John 1:7. In the Amplified, it says, but if we really are living and walking in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt. Listen to this line. Here it is, folks. Keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Amen? Amen. We're going to close with a song that I wrote some years back. And listen to the words. This is what I'm talking about. Don't give it away. You can witness and do, you know, give your heart to the Lord, all those wonderful songs that Marguerite chose. But what I'm talking about, don't give away your inheritance. This is all free. You did nothing, nothing at all, except for accept it. Because Jesus paid the price on Calvary. And right after the song, I'm going to ask for some help, because I know this isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show, but I have something for each one of you here today. And you're all going to go home with the complete New Testament from Matthew to Revelation in the King James. Now, the only thing you need is a decent CD player that is capable of doing MP3s. And this entire thing is written on one disc. So I hope I will get the word in you any way that I can. Do you see my love and devotion for you people? And if you've never read, I don't have enough for everyone, but a lot of people have read the prayer of Jabez, but there's 25 of these for anyone that would like one of these too. And then we will go have some of that wonderful food. All right, we're going to close now with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we could come here and meet and fellowship with one another on such a beautiful, beautiful Sabbath day. Lord, we pray that we can leave here with the hope of knowing that with you in us, there is nothing that we cannot overcome. And we pray now the blessing on the food and the hands that prepared us. And help us have a wonderful week and meet here again next Sabbath. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.